Good to see everybody this evening. Hope you've all had a good day today. Enjoyed a good Father's Day for those of you who are dads. I know we got to enjoy one. It's good to see our kiddos and grandkiddos. And as Max mentioned, it's good to see them go back down the road. Not, by the way, because they're any problem. It's just they're full time, let me tell you. They're just good kids. They're sweet. Matter of fact, we invited at least one of them to come back and stay for a little bit longer. So we really do enjoy them. I was thinking about all the opposition that we run across in life, and I believe that we're always a little surprised when we have opposition. Maybe especially in a town this small that has so many people who are like-minded to us. We don't run into as many problems within the school. We certainly don't run into as many problems within our city government because they're really low key. I'm always surprised when I'm reminded who our mayor is, and they've been the mayor since we've lived here, I think. But that's how low key they are. They just don't impose themselves into our lives, and so we get kind of used to that. But there is a promise to those who are going to follow Christ that Christ gave himself, and that is, if you follow me, you're going to have to pick up your cross. And he also promised them that there would be persecutions for those who followed him. And I still remember for years and years, I always wondered, well, we live in just kind of a rare situation, and we're not going to have those persecutions perhaps in our lifetime. And now we're seeing them just seemingly coming one after another. And while, again, we're not feeling them specifically, they are coming. The Supreme Court is certainly a body of men and women who have become activists. They seem to have very little regard for the Constitution and even less regard for God. And because of that, they have been making one decision after another that could present some difficulty to Christians, will present difficulty to Christians, especially the ones that are involving homosexuals and like I say, this made-up gender of transgender. I sure got that on the audio. But there's just things that you would have never dreamed would have happened are now happening. You don't pass a law unless you intend to at some point enforce that law. And we have had a number of things that have happened, a number of things that continue to happen that ought to give us, I believe, cause for concern. And yet, I want to say again, do not be surprised when you receive opposition. Appreciated Max's prayer just a moment ago, praying for the courage and determination to follow God's word. That takes courage to be a Christian. And it also takes a great deal of determination. And that's what we want to talk about tonight. And we're going to specifically look primarily at the words of Jesus to talk about that and see what he had to say. Luke chapter 12 and verse 49. I've come to bring fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to undergo, and how distressed I am until it's completed. Do you think I've come to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but division. From now on, there will be five in one family, divided against each other, three against two and two against three. They'll be divided father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. There's going to be conflict because of what Jesus presented, because of the life that is required to be a Christian. Sometimes the reason that we don't feel that conflict, again, is because we're surrounded by so many like-minded people. But there are also times we don't feel that conflict because we don't have that courage and determination to take stands when stands are required. It's a daunting task. And it's also serious when Jesus himself says, I've come to divide families. Now, obviously, Christ wants us united in him. but He wants us in Him. And so if the choice becomes being united with our family or some of us being in Him and following His ways and having to suffer the arrows and slings of those who are not, then so be it. When you become a Christian, this is what you sign up for, the good and the bad. And Jesus just points out that there is going to be difficulty. I know I used this example not too long ago, but I want to bring it up again here because I think it is very appropriate. And it helps me to understand in a way that really kind of hits to a point. It's that example of the monkeys that they did, I don't know how many years ago, but they stuck a bunch of monkeys in a room and they put a pole in the middle of the room, and it was a tall pole, and it went up to an area where they were sticking fresh bananas each day. And monkeys liking fresh bananas, they would climb up that pole to get to them. And then the people who were doing the experiment would spray them down with the power hose. And they did that for day after day until the monkeys stopped trying to get up that pole. Even though those fresh, tantalizing bananas were up there, something good for them was up there. Well, they continued with the experiment by putting another monkey in there to see what would happen. And of course, he did what any monkey would do. He climbed the pole, but the other monkeys, they pulled him down. And as he persisted, they pulled him down and they'd give him a beating. Well, he didn't. I suppose monkeys communicate, not because of evolution, but because of what God put into monkeys. They're not a stupid animal, for the most part. But at some point, that monkey that had been introduced, who had never seen the water hose, just stopped trying to get to the bananas. And then they started doing this. They started substituting him. They would take one out that had seen the hose and put one in that hadn't. Same thing over and over. This went on until finally, in this room, there were just monkeys who had never been hit by the hose, but they had all been pulled down by other monkeys at one point or another. And so anytime a new monkey was introduced, they'd pull that monkey down. None of them knew why they were doing it. That's just what they did. And you see that today. You will see people go after other people en masse as a pack of people, not really knowing why they're doing it, but everybody else is doing it. It's the thing to do, and so they do that. You will find in your life that you are surrounded by a bunch of people who have little more consideration than a monkey might. But they're willing to stand for what they believe, and they're willing to pull you down when they see you trying to serve Christ. And so Jesus, I believe, was warning us about this very thing. Matthew chapter 10 is a rather long passage as far as talking on one subject. But Jesus really has some important things to tell us about our service to Him. He's sending out the 12 disciples now, and 12 apostles, and they're going out and He's giving them these following instructions. Verse 5. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. This was one of the agreements that God had with them. He was going to give His chosen people first shot at becoming obedient to the Messiah, and that's certainly what they were doing. As you go, preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you've received, freely give. Do not take along any gold or silver or copper in your belts. Take no bag for the journey or extra tunic or sandals or a staff, for the worker is worth his keep. Remember, they're going out, they're healing all sorts of diseases. And so this is really something. They're bringing great blessings to these communities. And they're preaching as they go. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. In verse 11, whatever town or village you enter, search for some worthy person there and stay at his house until you leave. As you enter the home, give it your greeting. If the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. If not, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake the dust off your feet when you leave that home or town. I tell you the truth, it will be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. Well, think about that for a moment. Here they're going out and they're performing these miracles that can only be recognized as a power from God, and yet there are going to be people who are going to reject it. And so Jesus essentially has these apostles go out with this instruction. If they do that, just let them alone. suit themselves, essentially, and go on. Don't waste your time anymore. Now, don't get this confused with this idea of laying a foundation for your friends and your family. There are going to be some who take a little bit longer than others. Some of us took a little bit longer than others. And Jesus is not saying, give them the message once and then shake the dust off of your feet and go on. But what he is saying is, for those who reject God, for those who insist on rejecting God, especially in this particular situation where they saw the power of God, just shake the dust off your feet. And he said, it's going to be better for Sodom and Gomorrah, or more bearable. And we remember the physical punishment Sodom and Gomorrah went through. And it's going to be easier on them on the day of judgment than for this town. And then he says this, I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves, therefore be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. This may be some of the best advice that we can be taking right now. The opposition that we are against is particularly wicked. They're particularly deceitful. There are people who are going about trying to accomplish certain things, to enrich themselves, for whatever motives they might have. You're going to find that there are some people within the religious world who will only accept part of God's instruction. And they're going to be violently against you, it will seem. They will attack you. Oh, you're the only people, you think you're the only people going to heaven. I don't know how many times I've heard somebody say that. And I always ask them the same question. Who tells you that? I've never heard it taught. I'm sure there are some who believe it. But it's not up to us to determine who is going to heaven. That's God's point. That's His privilege. Ours is to preach the truth in love. And by doing that, people are going to see that there is a conflict between what they believe and what we are teaching is the truth. And they're not going to like that. And so there are going to be times you're going to be hit with pretty powerful opposition. Right now, there seems to be a movement afoot that is trying to squeeze God out of the public square. It's been going on for a number of years. But as I mentioned, these rulings that seem to come out on a daily basis from the Supreme Court, each one, it seems like, has some direct opposition towards Christianity or towards righteous living. You're going to have to decide how you're going to react. There are going to be some things that you have to take a stand for. There's going to be other things that maybe you don't need to tell everybody everything you think at the moment. You've got to figure out what's going to benefit the cause of Christ the most. And you're going to think a little differently than I'm going to think, than they're going to think. We just have to, before God, do our best. But again, it's going to take a determination, and we're going to have a shrewdness among us, but we can never lose the innocence. Be as shrewd as serpents, innocent as doves. This idea, we've got to think about what we're doing when it comes to Christianity. We've got to have some sort of planning behind what we do. We've got to be prepared to give everyone an answer for the hope that we have. We have to be innocent as well. There cannot be malice. There cannot be deceit. There cannot be a misleading among us. And so we're going to have to figure it out. Those of you who are in different professions are going to understand this. The opposition towards you is getting greater and greater. And the things, the pressure that will come, and again, this continual squeezing out of Christians is going to continue, and you're going to have to really follow this, be as shrewd as snakes and innocent as doves, if you're going to be able to help anybody. And you're going to have to be able to help people. Verse 17, Jesus says this, be on your guard against men. The only reason you're ever on guard is because someone may be attacking you. This is not a good thing as far as be on your guard. What a blessing that's going to be. No, this is, there are going to be people who oppose you. You better be ready for it. Be on your guard. Now, don't get me wrong. It's a blessing to be on your guard. It's just the reason that we have to be on our guard is not the blessing. Be on your guard against men. They'll hand you over to local councils and flog you in their synagogues. On my account, you'll be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. But when they arrest you, well, that's kind of... When they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. Remember, he's talking to people who have a miraculous gift, who have been given a miraculous gift of knowledge. We better be studying the Word so that we'll know what to say. But this advice about not having to worry is excellent. At that time, you'll be given what to say, he says to the apostles. For it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. And again, while I don't believe that we have miraculous gifts today, I do believe that we have the Spirit revealed within the Word. And if we'll be studying the Word, then we will be prepared to be able to allow the Spirit to speak through us. And we need to be prepared for them. And then he says this, he talks about how difficult it will be, and certainly as we read some of the history of the early church, we see this happen, but it's happening now as well. The persecutions against Christians throughout the world right now, whether it's the Middle East, whether it's parts of Africa, there is some tremendous persecutions where people are dying on a daily basis. And again, it could happen here if we're not careful. Brother will betray brother to death. Father is child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. All men will hate you because of me, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved. This is one of the greatest instructions that we can hold on to, this idea of he who stands firm to the end will be saved. We have to have that firm stance. When you're persecuted in one place, flee to another. You don't have to stay and take a beating. Once you've done what you can, it doesn't hurt to move on. I tell you the truth, you'll not finish going through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes. And again, I want to say this. Jesus is certainly speaking specifically to his apostles as they are going throughout the towns of Judea. Or old Judea. And so much of this has specific connotation to them. I just want to look at the application for us because the application is great. A student's not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It's enough for the student to be like his teacher and a servant like his master. If the head of the house has been called Beelzebub, how much more the members of his household? Who rules your house? And then he makes that point, so don't be afraid of him. It's just Satan. Satan's powerful, but compared to God, he's nothing. That's why when Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan," Satan got behind him. Satan has tremendous power. He has tremendous influence. He can cause people to rise up and come against you, and he certainly will do that whenever the opportunity arises. And he's got way more than enough willing followers and adherents who will do that. But we serve God, and we have to have the courage and the knowledge and the trust and the faith to be able to take the stands. Do not be afraid of them. There's nothing concealed that will not be disclosed or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What's whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one, God, who can destroy both the soul and the body in hell. And now he calls for a choice, and he also gives us perspective. Christians are going to win in the end. Those who are opposed to God are going to be destroyed in hell at the end. It may be a difficult struggle from time to time. And quite frankly, we have lived almost during the zenith of comfortable Christianity. And so if we're about to enter a time where there is discomfort, well, really, we've had it pretty good. I'm not saying that we look forward to difficult times. We don't. Nobody in their right mind looks forward to that. But we need to be prepared for it, just as the apostles on this journey that they made while Christ was still alive had to be prepared. Then he says this, "Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father." I really like that part. And it's a little bit intimidating, isn't it? As long as you're willing to serve God in His way, He will use you as long as He wants to use you. And so you don't have to worry about being taken out of God's service early. The thing that we have to be concerned about is making sure that we don't take ourselves out of God's service early, either by being silent and allowing Satan just to have rule, or some other way that we do that. The very hairs of your head are numbered, so do not be afraid. You're worth more than many sparrows. Whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. I love that part. We do just a little bit. We're just a little bit faithful. And when I say a little bit faithful, I don't mean that we don't give it everything we have. But by comparison to what we're going to get in eternity with God, if we'll confess Jesus' name before men, God will acknowledge us before his Father in heaven. But he also says, whoever disowns me before men, I'll disown him before my Father in heaven. And then again, a warning. Do not suppose I have come to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against his mother, her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. So, he concludes by saying this. Anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. There has to be a choice. Not just a choice between comfort or discomfort, but sometimes a literal choice between enjoying the fellowship of our family and our friends whom we love and having to make a separation because they're going to make a separation if we continue to stand for God. It's not an easy thing that Christ has called us to. As a matter of fact, he's called us to pick up our cross daily and follow him. But the reward is tremendous if we will do that. One last passage and we'll close. May not be a comforting passage at first, but when you think about it, it really is. James chapter 1 and verse 2. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. There are tests to our faith, and the tests to our faith are never pleasant. But if we will take the tests and do well with them, we'll develop perseverance. And someday, because of that perseverance, we're going to be home with God in Christ forever, not because we deserve it, but because of their love for us. The question is, will we have that courage and determination to stand for God and for Christ? It's an important question, isn't it? I want to conclude by offering the invitation. You might be ready to become a Christian tonight, and we would love to help you with that. If you do have any needs, won't you come forward and let them be known while we stand and sing?